Hello.
Hello.
This is I Hate Your Movie.
It is.
Our sub-series, episode 7 or something. I don't know. Probably right.
Special edition.
Special edition.
Like hot off the presses. Newspaper spins.
Extra, extra. It's first impressions. I Hate Your Movie. 50 Cent. We watched Megalopolis.
We did watch Megalopolis.
And we have a previously discussed metric whether we like this movie. We either say Megalopolis, which means it's popular, which is good, or Megalopolis, which is bad.
Right, I think you. I think your premise is flawed.
I think it is, because it's neither, really.
I mean, it's definitely not popular.
No.
I think if there's one thing we've learned through the making of this podcast is that, you know, just because we like something doesn't make it popular and vice versa.
How do we even start?
I have no idea. The number one question I have is, what did we just watch?
That's the thing, is that I have no idea. I formulated a one-sentence review in my head.
Yeah?
While I was watching, it made me chuckle. It's the most expensive student film ever made.
This film is like being in an art gallery, looking at a piece of art you enjoy, but you don't know why. That's sure. How I feel about it anyway.
Yeah.
Some people will look at it and go, what the fuck is that? And some people will see it and see this ultimate underlying meaning that makes them love it. But for me, it's nice. It was cool.
So a lot of reviews, I try not to read them, but a lot of reviews were mixed.
Yeah.
At first glance. And I've got to be in the annoying one, and I'm somewhere in between.
Okay. To be honest, for you to be in between in a film is praise enough.
Here's how I felt about it. And from now on, it's spoilers.
Okay.
Because I can't not talk about this, not spoil it. Although, I don't know if spoilers would take away anything necessarily in this movie. It's more like a visual, visceral experience.
Mm-hmm.
So, I thought the filmmaking was brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
I think visually, the editing, acting, cinematography, wonderful.
Yeah.
And sometimes it was off-putting on purpose, was doing things, especially in the editing part, I noticed. When he was talking to his mother, it was like very jarring kind of editing that's meant to make you feel like, oh, she's off, you know. There's okay. Things like that. So it's like wonderfully done, very outside the box kind of thinking. But I don't agree with the story's thesis.
Okay. What is the story's thesis?
Yeah, I think the story's thesis is, and this is like, we just came out of this. So if it turns out I'm wrong. But I felt like it's promoting idealism and going like, oh, we want a better society. Yes, everyone wants a better society. But how you get there is also important. And our main character was a person who believed in this utopia, but the utopia required crumbling down previous establishments where people lived and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that made me root for the quote-unquote bad guy, the mayor.
Okay.
I felt like he was right. I think it's something with the presentation as well, where how they presented the utopia is, oh, flowers. And then when it rains, it goes over you. But there's like, in the movie, there's real people in real poverty banging on the fences so that their building doesn't get collapsed by the utopia with the flowers. And I think what would happen in a real life scenario where this happens is that Adam Driver is still part of the bourgeoisie. Adam Driver is still part of the 1%. I think it's implied that he's one of the richest persons, especially at the end of the movie.
Well, his uncle is like the richest person.
His uncle transfers his money to him at the end.
No, he didn't. He transferred it to Megalopolis.
Well, that he created.
Yeah, but you build a city and then the money goes to that city. You don't get that money.
Yeah. I just feel like that if there's real utopian kind of societal change, it's going to come from the bottom up and not the top.
No, I disagree.
Okay.
I think you need people with money and power and a lack of greed to build a society where they don't exist. But you won't do that. Mm-hmm. No one will do that because you need power and greed to get to those situations.
Mm-hmm.
So it's flawed. If like Jeff Bezos, he has the money now, to build a city to house every homeless person in the world and feed them and give them a chance in life. Yeah. He has the money to do that, and that's the way to do it. He's never going to do that because you don't get to where you are by giving your money away.
And then I think from bottom up, I think like democracy, I think that's what the kind of things that this movie missed, which is all the social aspects. It was all very focused on infrastructure and like, oh, what does this utopia look like visually? I think when it comes to like politics and stuff, I like my details. I like when it's more considerate of people rather than things, you know, and like a systematic change rather than we're going to knock this building down to make a nice, pretty flower building.
Because this film, towards the end, felt a bit long to me. I don't mean you got the time for those details. The pace of this film moves steadily enough that if you stop to talk about what's homeless Jeff going to do with his time. And plus, at the end, all of those people get let in. What it needed, to be honest with you, I felt, is like a tiny scene where all these people are banging on the fence and then the gates open and people start walking in. He says the gates of Megalopolis are open, and then the next scene you see people walking around the city, which it isn't clear, and I don't know if it's on purpose that it's not clear who's in that city. Is it the rich people? Is it the poor people? Who is there?
I think I needed more details like that. Just cut a few Shakespeare quoting things, cut a few slow moving shots where people go on these futuristic, what's that? Travelators. That go like 0.1 mile an hour.
And you will always be less than 5 minutes from a park on that really slow thing. Parks everywhere. You go on that thing for 5 minutes, you'll have gone like 10 meters.
Yeah.
You'll never be more than 5 meters from a park, because that's how slow it goes. You were in the park an hour ago, and you can still see it over there.
The future is slow.
By the way, if you're enjoying this episode, please hit the like button. Don't forget to subscribe. And we also have a Patreon,
where for £1 or $1 a month, you can listen to bonus episodes that we do and also recommend us movies and join a great community of people. Patreon.com/IHateYourMovie. It's also in the description box. Check it out. Thank you very much. Yeah, just got a little bit of that and then talk about more social stuff because it was all too vague for me. Like, it wasn't smart enough in that way, I feel like. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was smart in a different way. It was smart in a, like a visual, poetic that way, but it needed like the little bit of a like pragmatic intelligence in there, because you mentioned that at the end where, oh, Megalopolis opens up but to who, that's intercut with Trump supporters, I mean red hat wearing violent guys killing the, what was his name,
Shia LaBeouf.
Was that actually Shia LaBeouf?
Yeah, it was Shia LaBeouf.
I was like, for the whole movie, I was like, is that Shia LaBeouf?
How did you not know that was Shia LaBeouf?
I kind of did, but he looked too weird. But at the same time, because I've never seen him in a role like that. Yeah, so do they let those guys in? The red hat wearing crazy, violent people. If they do, does that destroy the utopia? And if they don't, what kind of utopia is that? That's just segregation.
I assume they just let him in.
They cross the border and they're just all happy and flower loving and it's just all everything is solved now.
Their issue is they had nowhere to live. So yeah, there it is.
Because the main character knocked down their building.
Yeah. The only thing I would say about the design of Megalopolis is, so it's designed to be really flowing and there's like, you know, a giant metal tree and all that kind of stuff. That did not look like it had many houses in it. You know,
I think
there was lots of wide open spaces.
Yeah, I think those giant mushroom / flower structures are supposed to be the houses.
Yeah, but like each one of those is like an apartment block. You know, there was like 50 apartment blocks knocked down and then like one mushroom that's supposed to house everyone.
Cut to 50 years later, they're bombing the mushrooms down. I've got a new idea. Let's talk about actors.
Actors?
Like Shia LaBeouf.
Shia LaBeouf. And let's talk about how Adam Driver has to run for his life from Shia LaBeouf. He's
he's brandishing a knife. Shia LaBeouf.
He stabs it in his kidneys.
Actual cannibal Shia LaBeouf.
I really wish there was a that song, but describing this film from the start. You're trying to build a city.
But your cousin's in the way. And his name is Shia LaBeouf. He was good, Shia LaBeouf.
He was good, yeah.
I mean, everyone was a bit extra. I interpreted that as, is this rich, opulent society? Everyone's have a mask on and yeah. They just act up because they want to be the main show.
They're so used to being the center of attention that they constantly overact. Mm-hmm.
Because they have to stand out in an already kind of standout crowd.
Mm-hmm.
Aubrey Plaza.
Aubrey Plaza was fantastic.
Yeah, this is the Aubrey Plaza show.
I mean, every show that film Aubrey Plaza is the Aubrey Plaza show. It's good to see her in a film of this size and scope. Mm-hmm. She does like her indie films. She just steals every scene, like hands down.
Yeah, she was the social ladder climber.
Yes, she starts off as a reporter.
If you don't want to just go by the how the movie starts her off, is she says she was like unemployed and stuff like that. So she comes from really bottom. And then...
she was married to the richest man in the world.
Yeah, but fuck Adam Driver at first.
And Shia LaBeouf.
And Shia LaBeouf. Hey, who can blame her? Especially the beautiful Shia LaBeouf. Shia LaBeouf. I liked her outfits. They were crazy. Lots of very overt symbolism for Rome and stuff.
Yeah.
And some more subtle. Her end outfit was very Cleopatra.
Oh, that's exactly what I was going
to
say.
Yeah. If I go back to my history, that's a bit of a confusing metaphor. If I try to analyze this with like historical stuff, then where the names are, it kind of just hurts my head. Because yeah. I tried to do that during the movie. No, it's just using names and symbolisms. Okay. Calm down. Calm down.
Her name wasn't Cleo at any point.
Again, when she says she went to the unemployment thing, someone asks, oh, is that... your name, is that Greek? I think that's like a subtle reference again to Cleopatra, who was Greek.
Okay.
But that, yeah, there was loads and loads of stuff. Crazy amount of stuff, especially Rome.
Mm-hmm.
The year zero around. Which, that wasn't a year zero. The year one around.
The year one.
Yeah.
There should be a year zero.
That isn't a year zero.
The year isn't, you know, a year,
why?
Zero. Go on.
Because the Romans didn't have zero.
Really?
Yeah. That's why there's no year zero. I just learned that.
What did they do when they ran out of stuff?
So we have none. We have no. That Italian accent. We have no more. Go away.
It's a me, Mario.
It's a me, Caesar. I said we have no more.
I have no gold coins.
I have 1 - 1 equals nothing.
You'd think like they would have a zero though. None would become your zero, or yeah. Nothing would become your zero.
Mm-hmm. They just didn't.
No, you need a term for the absence of stuff.
It's a nothing. Don't you understand? Yeah, Adam Driver.
He was good.
He was good. He wasn't so much of a standout as I imagine him to be. No. He usually is.
I thought he was pretty good.
Yeah.
In most of it. In his like drug-addled scene, he's annoyed me. Everything about that scene annoyed me. I didn't think it was particularly well acted in that scene. I didn't think it was particularly well shot. I didn't really understand what was happening.
Yeah.
Maybe that was the point. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I get it, but it was too long. It was like a 5-minute long montage of him being on the floor going blah, 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 blah.
But that's intercut with other stuff that's going on.
Put it in black and white and put it in the lighthouse. don't keep it in this film.
I liked it. I think it was very visual. And it was intercut with story bits, you know, with that singer.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Do you know about the secret Coppolas? Have you found the secret Coppola in this movie? Who's not called Coppola, but it is a Coppola.
The fuck are you talking about?
So this movie was directed by Francis Ford Coppola.
Yep.
Director of Godfather and Part 2 and Dracula and all sorts. He is very, very... nepotistic.
What? Someone in Hollywood is nepotistic?
What
a shock.
He's even more so than usual. He loves to give his children and relatives things. So there's secret Coppolas in the world, in the movie business. Do you know any of them?
Mega Coppolas.
Nicolas Cage, his real name is Nicolas Coppola.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
The other one is Jason Schwartzman, who was the secret Coppola in this film.
Okay.
Yeah,
I feel like Jason Schwartzman is perfect for this film, you know.
Well, I didn't get much to do.
He didn't get much to do, but he was very much that kind of like Wes Anderson type character, because he's always in those as well.
Yeah. It was the mayor's daughter. What's her name? She's in everything as well.
Is she?
Yeah.
I didn't really recognize her from
really?
Much. Yeah. Nathalie Emmanuel.
Okay. I had no idea.
Nathalie, she was in Fast and the Furious.
Okay. Well, I recognize her from Fast and Furious and...
Game of Thrones.
The Game of Thrones.
All of those things.
Dude, do you know how many Fast and Furious movies are? No one knows. There's too many.
How much... Because this is a film that he's wanted to make for, what, 30 years? Something ridiculous?
I don't know much about the behind the scenes other than there's no big studios funding it. It's just him funding it himself.
I heard it was an idea he had like 30 years ago.
Okay.
And he's always wanted to make it, but he never got the funding to do it. So eventually he just did it himself.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems to me like this is a film that could have been made at any time. And not made at any time as in kind of like the special effects and that kind of thing. But I mean, it says quite a lot about like today's culture and society and that kind of stuff. But I don't think it's specific to this time. I feel like there are certain aspects that are like, I think if you make this film 10 years ago, 15 years ago, you don't have the guys in the red hats.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you maybe put some other kind of like symbolism in there to represent right-wing politics at the time.
Mm-hmm. I think he meant it like in a CGI way that he couldn't make it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was the scope and CGI kind of thing. Because when he was really popular, it was like 70s, Godfather. It's, fuck knows, in 70s, he can't make this. And then after that, it was just getting less and less popular. He kind of came back for Dracula, but not really. That was his second most popular film. So I think that's what he meant. The scope and the visual effects it requires. The technology is not there yet. Or it'd be too expensive for like to do it practically. My big question is... You know, when they're on that platform that has the clock.
Yeah, why are they on a platform with a clock?
Why is there no handrails?
It's just, yeah.
I kept waiting for someone. They're like really high above. And then the hands stick out. So I kept waiting for someone to go like, whoa.
Just the hour changes and trips them up.
Yeah.
Yeah. The main reason it didn't make sense to me is because, A, why is there a clock that faces the sky?
Hmm.
A working clock as well, because you see the gears.
Rich people and they're what they're up to, you know.
You know, you're flying about in your helicopter. What's the time? Oh, look. Adam Driver's made me a clock. Cheers, man.
It's when aliens get to read the clock.
The second reason, you're right, why doesn't it have handrails?
Mm-hmm.
Why is there a way up to this clock? There's no handrails, so you could just look over the edge.
Yeah.
They're like 50 stories above the city. And the third one is the thing that made the absolute least sense whatsoever, is why was there steel girders in his megalopolis, super high-tech city?
They were exquisite white steel girders.
They were. I get the feeling that somewhere in there is like a analogy or a metaphor about like being in the clouds and the steel girders of the clouds, because now you're up with the gods, blah, 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 blah.
I think it was more about time than anything.
Yeah?
Yeah. And we can connect this to the time-stopping thing. Do you think that was real? Do you think that was a real thing?
No, I don't think people can stop time, no.
Do you think that it's a thing that the character is actually capable of? Or do you think it was like a symbolic thing? Because in the middle of a movie, Nathalie Emmanuel, who I know and love dearly, and I know her name, says that, oh, you said that artists can just stop the time. And that's how they create. I think it was like supposed to be represent inspiration or something like that. It's like,
no, I don't think so. No. I think the idea, I mean, you take what you want from it.
Yeah.
You know, I got more feeling that she was saying like artists and architects and people who build and create, once they have finished that creation, that is their moment in time frozen for the world to see. So you create something in the 80s that speaks about the society in the 80s, that's the frozen part of the 80s that will be constant there forever. Whereas everything else changes around it, you will still have 100-year-old buildings. Like, we still have like buildings in the world that are thousands of years old that are that part of time still.
That's a really good takeaway. I didn't think of that. And that was supported by what I was thinking about as well, but then connected to this idea, which was at the beginning, he says, oh, we don't really think about the future anymore that way. And what came into my head is that he's kind of right in a way where if you just think about beauty and buildings, which is in the old times, they cared about how beautiful a building looks.
What time frame are you saying for this?
1800s to 1920s Art Deco.
Okay.
I feel like it kind of stopped around there, where after that, it was more like... Have you ever been to the Barbican?
Yeah. I love the Barbican.
There you go.
It is a brutalist masterpiece.
Yeah, well, everything was just more to serve a purpose and didn't really care about how it looks. You know? I still think we're in that era. There's little exceptions here and there, but I felt him in that. I felt him in that, where it's like, yeah, we could do a little bit more. Like, just think about the beauty that surrounds us. I don't think it's issue number one. I think there's a few more. There's a few more things we could do, but... I feel like that's a good thing to do, you know?
Yeah. I always go back to buildings that took centuries to make. You know, when you go to like a big cathedral or you go to, you know, a really historic building and you do the tour and they always say like, started in 1703 and it was built up until 1754 mm-hmm. and then it stopped because they ran out of money.
Yeah.
And then in 1805, mm-hmm. someone picked it up again and ran it for another 30 years. And I just think 80 years to build a building, just consider what we could build if we took the time and the planning and took a step back from building all of these concrete boxes.
Yeah.
And imagine what we could build if we had 80 years, if we just planned. They didn't plan to make it to take 80 years, but, you know, imagine the wonders we could build. I think that's kind of what this film is saying. It's saying we don't talk about the future enough, far enough in the future.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, oh, we need houses now, put an apartment block there. Oh, shit, now we need more houses, put an apartment block there. Oh, shit, now we need more building. Oh, we haven't got space for a third apartment block, so knock down those houses and put it there. And if you just designed in the first place where you had the space for the first two apartment blocks, if you designed it properly and you could do it well and you could incorporate all kinds of, like, parks and playing facilities and shops and all kinds of other, like, things in it.
There are things like that.
Mega City 1.
There are things like that.
Yeah?
Turkmenistan.
Okay.
People don't talk about Turkmenistan enough. I think it's a fascinating country. It's kind of like North Korea. Well, it is. I'm sorry for all the Turkmen listeners.
Okay. You gotta be like, oh, they've got a really good country going on. It's a lot like North Korea.
I didn't say that. I didn't say they have a good
country. That was the implication.
No, I'm saying this is like a bad example.
Oh, okay.
Because they're just in the fucking middle of the desert. They just... raised the city. You should look it up. It's really interesting. I think it's called
Ashgabat.
And it's now the capital of Turkmenistan. And it's just like gold and marble and just beautiful. And then yet no one's fucking there. The roads are empty. No one's using anything because people are fucking scared of the government. But it's like, it's really interesting.
Okay.
People should look into Turkmenistan. It's an interesting country. So is it Megalopolis or Megalopolis?
I think it's meh, Galopolis.
Oh.
Proud of that.
Come on, really meh, really? I'd argue anything is, even if you hate this movie, it's not meh.
No?
No, I would say Megalopolis.
Yeah?
Have
you changed your tune? Because at the start of this, you were like, you were meh, Galopolis. This is getting very confusing.
Yeah. No, I'm mixed.
I think that's the definition of meh.
A meh is more like disinterest to me.
Meh is the middle of the road. It's like,
okay.
Do you want to watch this film? Meh. Yes and no.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I'm all mixed up, mixed all up all of this. Bye.
Oh, bye.